breath of life, Lord, for life, for truth, Father, for the chance to come together, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, right now, as we would spend some time together as your people, Father, we leave every care, every concern, every burden, Lord God, at your feet and at the side. Lord, we ask and pray that you would be with us, Father, in this time. Lord, we do bind every demonic force, every hindering spirit, Lord. And Lord, we ask and pray, Father, that you would just speak to us clearly in this time, Lord, as we just trust in you and lay every care at your feet, Father. I acknowledge openly that it's just your spirit in me that's good. So to your spirit I yield. And Lord, we pray that you would just be with us in a wonderful way this evening as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So let it be. Okay. Yeah, gosh. Amen. Amazing times. Okay. So this tonight is kind of, we'll probably close out this series this evening. Kind of the one that we've been in. Now, the one that we've been in, let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, one thing that we discussed about this, about the hearing and the word. See, there's two different things that when they talk about the word in Scripture. You have the Logos. For example, if you go to John chapter 1, verse 1, it says that, piano scales outside. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. Okay, when it talks about that Word, that's not the same thing it's talking about in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, where it says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Two different words. In the Greek, one is talking about the Logos, the other is talking about the Rhema. So in John chapter 1, verse 1, when it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," it's speaking about the Logos. It's speaking about the complete, unadulterated, perfect counsel of God existing throughout eternity, before time began, will be there after time ends. When Jesus, when the Word became flesh, when the Word became flesh, that was Christ Jesus. That was the walking Logos of God in the earth. That's the complete counsel and revelation of who God is right there. So when it talks in Romans chapter 10, it says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, hearing by the Rhema of God. So hearing by the spoken Word of God. So what happens is God takes a piece of eternity and a piece of who He is, the bread of life, breaks off exactly what you need for this day and gives it to you. Because we are, again, finite in our current state for sure, and we have a limitation. So if we could never take in the entire counsel of God or anything like that. But what we need is we need, give us this day our daily bread. So we need that peace for today. So what God does is He takes that peace that we need for today and gives that to us. Now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith comes when you hear. In order for you to be able to hear, that Word has to be spoken, but you have to be in a place where you can receive that, which is a little bit of what we'll talk about tonight. But you have to be in a place where you can receive that spoken Word of God. And when you receive it in the way that God intends, the faith will grow, the trust will grow. Now, the thing about the Rhema of God is, and here's something that's very important, is that it's personal and it's direct to you. So God speaks directly to His individuals that make up the body of Christ. It's not a mass group thing. And this is a major point of deviation between institutional religious structures and what Jesus Christ intended that you would have, which is a living, breathing, dynamic, personal relationship with Him. So you have to be able to distinguish the two, because if you can, because that's something the institution can never offer you. See, what institution offers you is you have a broker, a God broker as such. You have somebody that will stand between you and whatever it is that you accept as deity. Be it Nirvana, be it God, be it Allah, be it whatever you want to call it. You have a broker that stands between you and tells you, okay, if you want to be okay with this, here's how you do it. And then you must, as a group, conform to the institution, and the group will be self-regulating, and they'll have their systems and controls in place. If you're falling out of line, they'll snap you back into place. That's the world, ultimately. Now, we did a series on entitled The World a long time back, where we discussed manifestations of the world, and one of them being how the world manifests in the form of religion, and the religions of the world, how they deviate significantly from the truth, which is the way, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if you can go with that, what ends up happening is, if you can go with the way that God would have you to go, you'll end up walking out of those things and realizing the lie and the deception that's there. But it takes courage, because anytime you try to get out of the world, everything in the world will come to try to snatch you back. So anytime that somebody will say, okay, I'm done with this. Lord, I want you. Whatever it is that you say goes. I just want the real deal. As soon as you decide that, as soon as you make that decision and you begin to go in that direction, everything will come to try to take you another way, except for those that are actually on the same path with Him, and except for the Spirit of Truth. Those that are on the same path with Him will be encouraging you in that way, and the Spirit will be leading you in that. But other than that, the whole world system is designed to not let you go. It's designed to keep you. It's designed to keep you bound into the system. It's designed to keep you from hearing that voice. See, if faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, wouldn't it make sense that the entire world system would do, one, to make sure and do everything it can to keep you from hearing that? And to keep you from following that. So if you do hear, to keep you from following that. So wouldn't it make sense, since the devil knows the same word that we have, knows the same scriptures that we have, seen countless lives that have come, well, not countless, but enough lives that have come before, that have walked with the Spirit of God, and seen what happened with them, so realizing the strategy necessary for you and for me to keep you from going into the fullness of God like those that would have come before. So one of the key things that he would have to do is say, okay, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let me do everything to keep a block between you hearing as much as possible, and if you hear, to you actually fulfilling and walking that thing out. Because that's the most dangerous thing to the kingdom of the world. The most dangerous thing to the kingdom of the world and to the agenda of the world system, which is to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, and to harvest the souls of men by their free will being given into that system. The most dangerous thing that can happen with them is if somebody starts walking out and following Christ. Because one person like that is like a free radical within their system that's just boom, 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 just breaking up everything. I mean, you can do immense damage to the kingdom of the world, just one person that's set free. So that's why it's like we have to, the world system says we have to stop that person from hearing the voice of God as much as possible. So that's why so much of what media is about that. So much of what people that don't walk with Christ, family that doesn't walk, that's what they're about, is to keep you from hearing that. That's what a lot of people's work situations are, to keep you from hearing that. That's what a lot of the physical and mental corruption that they try, that's attempted to be sown into you, is about, is to keep you from hearing. Isaiah 59, verse, here, I'll show you another one. Isaiah 59 and verse 2, one thing that that said here, but your iniquities have separated, verse 1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So there's something that happens where God doesn't hear people and people can't hear him. So the world system knows that. So, okay, the devil latches onto something like that and says, oh, look, if I can bring this into the relationship that that person has with God, then it's going to break that up. It's going to break up that relationship. So it's going to keep, that person won't be able to hear, and God won't hear them. So let me entice that person into this. Now, it still requires your free will. See, here's what's amazing about this whole journey, is that your free will is engaged. Your free will is engaged in this process where you and I make decisions, and ultimately we live with the consequences of those decisions. I had a friend who's a pastor in the States one time. He told me one time, he said, Govind, he said, you can choose to do whatever you want. He said, you just can't choose the consequences. You have free will. You have free choice. You can choose whatever you'd like to do. Anything you want, you can do it. But you just can't choose the consequences. You can't choose the outcome that comes from those actions. But that's why, too, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose life. Choose the right path. Choose what it is that God offers. Because ultimately, when you choose His way, what you choose will result, the harvest of that will be life, will be good things. You can't choose that consequence either. The fruit will come as it does, but it'll be something good. You see, so, I mean, like, people too many times they're like, you know, this is where too we have to let go of our agenda. You and I have to let go of, here's what it is that I would like for my life. This is my perfect reality that I would think. You have to let go of that. And you just so good, you sow, because you know you reap what you sow. So you sow positively, you sow the way of the kingdom, and if you just sow in that line, then the harvest will come back to you, and it'll be something good. If you've sown good, it'll come back good. If you've sown evil, you can count on something evil coming back. This last couple of days, you know, the whole thing that happened with Prabhakaran and LTT, you know what? A lot of people reaped what they sowed. That's just what happens. Now, I'm not saying anything, you know, one way or the other. I'm just saying that every person in this life, and it's every person in this life reaps what they sow. Period. You just do. You know, and if there's evil people in that mix, you can have evil people on both sides of something. Yeah. You know, but everybody reaps what they sow. You good people reap back good things. Evil people reap back evil things. And we're living in a time where I think you're getting a return on your investment very quickly. Because of the nature of the time we're living in, things are speeding up. So as things speed up in this time, what you're seeing is quickly things are coming back on people. So because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, there's something that we need to do on our side, on our part. See, this is where, you know, sometimes people get really sloppy and lazy in their walk in their relationship. You know, they put effort and energy into their work. They put effort and energy into their dog. You know, they'll have a dog and they'll be like, okay, you have to feed the dog, you have to clean up after the dog. So they'll put effort and energy into those things, and yet when it comes to their relationship with the Father, people put energy into the spouse, people put energy into anything that's important to you, you put energy and effort into. But when it comes to the things of God, people get very lax, very nonchalant about it, and then at the end of the day, they expect something to be there. Now, it may be that, you know, God is definitely merciful, But there's no obligation at all, you know, for, I mean, because what is it that, you know, if it's based on a relationship, it's kind of like if somebody comes and hits you up for something. You know, well, if you have a relationship with that person, it's like, yeah, you know, you want to help that person. But if you don't know the person, and somebody's just like, hey, can you, I'm sorry, do I know you? You know, I mean, it's like, I'm serious. It's like, you know, and if you can help them, you want to help them. But it's different with somebody that you know. You know, and likewise too, it's like with the Father, it's like when He knows someone, when He has a relationship with someone, it's like there's a depth that you have now, and you know whom you have believed in, and you're persuaded because you've walked something out with Him. See, this life is about making a certain decision. Basically, will you go with the kingdom of God, or will you go with the system of the world? Which kingdom will you choose once you've made that choice to walk it out? Now, as you walk that thing out, if you go the way of the kingdom of God, then you're under the dominion of the King, and that thing can change, twist, turn, all kinds of, but you'll be on this path. But if you go with the system of the world, what happens is you get compartmentalized. They analyze your talents, your skills, your abilities, and they'll suck them dry within something that furthers the system of the world, and when it's done with you, you die and you get killed off one way or the other, you know, or cancers or whatever, sickness or disease or something. But people end up pretty much miserable, unfulfilled, and then they try to find their fulfillment in, you know, a marriage or a sports car or their kids. How many people transpose their desires for themselves onto their kids? You know, their kid now needs to be the sports star, their kid now needs to be the doctor, their kid now needs to be the lawyer, because what happened? they checked out, basically. They checked out of God's plan and purpose for their life. And so now they're trying to systematically live through their children, and they put all of the pressure on their children to be something. But, you know, stop. Give, you know, first of all, you can be 80 and you can get on track with the plan of God for your life. You can. You know, it's just, you just have to stop. Bow your knee before the kingdom and get on track. Whatever it is, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when He speaks to you, that's the beautiful thing, is God will speak to you if you will bow your knee and humble yourself and receive that gift and get out of the world, be willing to do whatever it takes, whatever He shows you, to break free of that system. Then it's like, you can start at 80, that's fine. But also give your kids a break. You know, each person makes choice for themselves. So one of the best things that we can do for people is as much as possible live a consistent and godly life and walk with Him as you can, because that, what happens is when people refer back to the life that you and I live, it's like they see something. They see, here's what life can be when somebody walks with Him. So when they see you go through difficult times, and they see the difference that your soul is strong, is rooted in something, they realize, wait a second, there's something more. You become an ambassador, you become a true witness for what's possible, for what's there. When they see you go into something when other people run away, it's like they realize, wait, there's something different going on here. It's not natural thinking. But then when they see you come through that, it's like, oh, okay. You know, there's something else going on. So, okay. So we've talked about some things that we do on our side, you know, that are involved in hearing. We've talked about this in some past ones. We talked about how, you know, it's important just to get away with God, to make that a priority. how to your attitude towards Him in that whole situation, how you keep the word before you, and how when you get up from that and you go on into whatever it is that you're going into, that you meditate on that word, that you keep it in front of you, that you make that a process. See, the main thing about that whole thing is engaging your will, is setting your ear. I've used the example before, like the radio dial, where, you know, it's tuning in the frequency, and the goal is to tune in the frequency, and then with the frequency, when it's tuned in, keep it on that channel. Now, whatever is spoken is contingent on the person broadcasting, but you're tuned into the channel. So, you know, now God is the MC of the whole thing. You know, He's the DJ. Whatever He speaks, whatever He plays, that's completely up to Him. But what I've done, and what you've done, and what we've done on our side, is to dial in to that frequency and keep it there on that station, locked, so that whatever's being broadcast from Him, being spoken to the body of Christ, we hear. So keep that in mind, and just like basically you're like, okay, what do I do on my side to stay in tune with what the Spirit of God is saying? Okay, because there's this here. Flip to Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. Now, I've talked about this before a bit, but I just want to touch on this. In Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, there's the letter that goes to the seven churches. And something that God kind of showed me while I was even studying this out. To each church, if you read these two chapters, you see something similar to what's in chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." But one, there's three things that are consistent with all of this. One is, he that hath an ear. He. Always when you go through each one, so it goes on from Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, all the way through Laodicea. With each church, the message is to him that hath an ear. So it's always to the individual. He doesn't say, let the church hear what the Spirit's saying. He says, to the individual, single person, let him that hath an ear, let him hear. So it comes down to, again, the whole priesthood of all believers. The priesthood of all believers, you and I need to, as individuals, be dialed in to what the Spirit of God is saying. So we have to be in a place where, as an individual, you have that direct connection. See, that direct connection is actually discouraged by the institution. See, the institutions that are there in place, what they encourage you is ritual. What they encourage you is blind obedience to some person, some figurehead, some man embodiment that will be your broker between you and God. And so they encourage that. They don't encourage direct connection. Because if you have direct connection with Him, you're dangerous. If you have direct connection with Him, well, how can a man rule over you if you have the same thing as the guy that supposedly got the degree and been sitting up there on the tombstone for the last 25 years? You know, I mean, how you can't be controlled. See, consistently within the institutions, the goal is control. The goal is conformity. So if you can't be controlled, if you can actually hear, and you know that, so you have to understand that the legitimacy of the word that God speaks to you, there's no one else that can trump that. That word is as legitimate, the one that God speaks to you, is as legitimate as He would speak to any of His servants. Period. It's the word. It's coming from Him. It's the Rhema of God. Now, again, that Rhema, one thing about it is that it is what you need right now. And this is why it's so important that you stay in connection and stay in tune, because what God will show you today And what he'll reveal to you today will be the instruction for this daily bread. What I need tomorrow, for example, certain things that I worked on, certain projects that I've done in the past, certain work assignments God's given me, if I was to try to stick to something that God told me when I was 19, so God said, okay, I want you to take this job when I was 19. And I know God told me to take the job. Did that mean I was supposed to spend the rest of my life in that job that I was, because I know God told me to take that? No. That was a progression. That was a step. That was something that God was doing with me at that time. Likewise, even revelation in Scripture. You know how you can be reading something, you've read it 20 times, and the 21st time that you read it, something will just wham out of the page that you never saw before. It'll be something completely different. It'll be something that you were not expecting. And then it's like, and it's completely applicable to the situation that you're in right now. I've read this letter to the seven churches, and I've read chapter 2 and 3 before, and sometimes it's just like, wow, there it is, something going on right there in my personal life as of yesterday. You know, it's something question where I'm like, okay, God, what do I do about it? And I'm like, right there. I'm like, oh, okay, I got it. Because why? Because he'll speak to me out of that word. See, the scripture becomes alive when you read it in connection with the Spirit of God. When you're tuned into the frequency on the radio dial, when you're tuned in, the scripture then, now you're ready to hear. So then when you start listening, when you start reading, when the word is spoken and it comes out, there it is. You pick up on what God is saying to you in and through that whole thing. Hey, welcome. Long day? Come, sit down.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're in part 4. Hopefully finishing today. Okay, analogy of a radio dial. What we do on our side is we tune into the frequency. And then, but God is the DJ, and he's the one speaking, so we just want to be on that frequency where we can actually hear what he's saying. Okay? Cool. All right. It's essential that you understand that it's specific and personal, and also what God speaks to you as an individual can't necessarily be transposed onto someone else. This is important as well. For example, I used I discussed before, like sometimes friends that have had problems with alcohol, something like that, where God will say to them specifically, look, you know, in your walk, in your step with me, this is something for you, it's got to go. And he will legitimately speak that to somebody. But to someone else, that's not a bondage, that's not a hindrance, it's not a problem. They've never had an issue with that. For someone, in fact, Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine. So it's like, so with something like that, you can't take an individual, something that God spoke to you, and then now dump that onto someone else. Because what happens if you take that and you put that on someone else, and God didn't speak it to their heart, then now you've created a man-made structure you're trying to put on that person, and the byproduct is now, and you're not really committing to hearing the voice of God, but what you're committing to is now, here's some system that we can put in place where we're okay. You see the difference? And see, here's the thing, if you, and I, this is what's happened with me, if you in your heart, if the number one thing that you're saying is, Lord, I want to be right with you, I want to walk with you, I want to hear your voice, anything that you say goes. If that's where you're at, and if your prayer is, Lord, if I'm missing it, correct me. If I'm off, show me, and I'll go. I'll just strengthen me to make whatever adjustments necessary so that I can walk with you. If that's where you're at, God will show you. He will show you. He will speak to you. He will reveal whatever it is that you need to know so that you can keep going. So if it's something that needs to be added, if it's something that needs to be taken away, if it's whatever it is, He will speak to you along those lines. And if not, if you don't have that, if what you have said in your heart is, here's what I want for myself, and God, I want you to give it to me, you're stuck. Because now that's the place where you get off the train. That's the place where now you say, okay, this now is my idol. This now is the thing that I want. And whatever it is that thing is, that now is the thing that has to be decimated, destroyed, taken out of the way so that you can keep walking, if that's important to you. So, for example, when Jesus talked with the rich young ruler, his thing with him was, look, first go sell everything you got, then, and give it to the poor, and then, the key word is then, come and follow me. Because what Jesus was working on with that guy was, all right, I see the core of your heart. You've done all this great stuff, but here's your block. And for someone else, that wasn't the key. That wasn't the issue. There's a lot of other people that wasn't a problem. But for this guy, that was his problem. That was his issue. That was his block. And to the instance instance where somebody will refuse to give that up, that becomes the Lord. That becomes the thing that's ruling them. So what happened with that guy was his wealth and his possession in the world was the block for him. And the byproduct of that was, okay, he went away sad. See, ultimately when somebody has something that they refuse to let go of, what is it? Well, one is, it's a lack of trust. It's a lack of faith in God. It's a lack of trust that basically that God, in that case, would take care of him. That he would be okay. That, see, he didn't believe. He believed in Jesus to a point. Yeah, I will, I'll do all these commandments, I'll do all that stuff. What is it that I lack? He believed in Jesus to a point, but there is a point where it's like, I believe to hear, but no further. And so Jesus tests that. He says, do you really want the real deal? Do you want the real deal? And if you want the real deal, here's what it's going to take. First, then. First, go do this, then. And for a lot of us, that's what he'll do. As you say, first, he'll say, first, do whatever it is, and then walk this thing out. I like the song.
Give me a little distraction.
Yeah, good show. Speaking of which, when we started out, that's one thing that we talked about was the world and the system of the world. If faith comes by, and sense, I shouldn't say if, but sense, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It makes complete sense that what the enemy will do is do everything he can to keep you from hearing. So a big part of that too is if you are trying to hear the voice of God, if he's in by your side going la 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 la, you're like, oh, you're trying to hear the la la la. I mean, how annoying is that? But you're having trouble hearing. And so compound that by 5, 10, 15 other things all around you. It's like, whoa. You're just surrounded by it. I mean, that's what the world does. Is the world will work very hard, first of all, on your conscious mind. If it can get that attention, that distraction. So that's why too, you have to be aware that there is this battle on for your ear. There's this battle on for what you hear. And your will being engaged in this whole process has a very, very strong impact ultimately on what you hear. Now, God is seeking to woo his bride. and the world is seeking to, you know, turn us into absolute harlots, you know, but on both sides it's like there's a petition going on for your attention and for your affections. The world is working very hard to get your affections, and likewise the Father is offering something different, something better, something, he's offering the real deal. But it takes a willful decision that we make on our side to say, this is the voice that I want to hear. This is the voice that I want to listen to. This is the way that I choose to go. And if you choose to go that way, it'll be tested throughout. To the day that you die, that'll be tested. But you will cultivate that ear, and as you cultivate that ear, you'll also have a growing certainty, a growing assurance of when God speaks, gosh, I know his voice. I'm used to it now. You know, it's a, there's, it's really cool. Like, there's some people that I know that are incredibly prophetic people. Like, they just flow in that, you know. And with them, it's like, I've seen it before. Like, they'll just meet somebody and just like, wham, open. And just flows. And like, and they will, it's a friend of mine called it, he said, brother, that person read my mail. It's like, I mean, it's like, this basically just the way you say it. It's like that person, they will say, here's several things about your past that, you know, somebody could never know unless the Spirit of God was showing it to them. But just enough to get your attention so that you are, that you have that, okay, this guy's, there's something legitimate going on here. Then we'll go into, okay, here's what's going on with you right now. And then, after that, we'll go into, okay, here's what's to come. And this is, you know, because Jesus, what was, what is to come, he is, I am, but he was throughout this whole thing. And so I've seen that so many times. It's like, this is something that, that happens. Especially when, you know, God will send one of his around you, or to be there, or to give you a word, he'll do that with them. So many times I've seen that, where it's like enough to get your attention. Okay, got your attention? Okay, now good. Now listen up, here's what's going on with you right now. Okay, good. Now, here's something that you need to know for what's coming up. And because, oh, here's something about it too. It's not scary, it's not hokey pokey, it's this. You've already lived this life. It's already happened. So what happens is somebody is, in, because they are tapped into that which is eternal, God is revealing from the that eternal state of this whole thing having been done, giving you a bit more of a revelation into that so that you can now walk out what God's plan and intention is for you. So it's really, it's cool. I mean, I've had people that are prophetic sit in front of me and they begin to tell me some things and then stop. And I've seen them stop, and I've even, one time I remember asking one guy, I was like, you know, why did you stop? And he's like, you know, basically he's like, God doesn't want you to know this next part right now. And I understood, because the thing is too, is like there's certain things that though they're known, God wants you to discover them in your walk with him. See, sometimes, you know, we want to suck all the romance out of this thing. We want to take all the fun and all the adventure out of what this life was meant to be, and we would like to package this into a nice cardboard box and say, okay, this is your life, eat it dry without anything. And it's like, no, God is creating this seven course, you know, meal for life of what it is, and you're intended to go through each and every phase of this thing. And whenever you need like a road sign, you know, saying, okay, Jaffna 220 kilometers, you know, Jaffna 150 kilometers, I'm like, you're going the right direction, you're going the right way. Whenever you need that, he will show you that so that you can take some encouragement and some solace, like, okay, yeah, because this seems really crazy what I'm doing right now, but oh wait, no, I am still on the right track. This is okay. You know, he is still speaking to you and showing you this is the right way to go. You are in step with me. but it's, you have to allow for the way that he'll work with you. And each person, he works custom with each person. Some people are really, really sensitive and they just have these really just soft hearts. And with people like that, it's like he works a different way than with somebody that's like, okay, they're just, you know, they're strong, rough, but they love God. You know, that person, he'll work with them a different way. Each person, he'll work with a different way. Because again, we're all also parts of the body. So as a person is activated by the Spirit of God, they will have a different ministry. They will have a different way that they are part of the kingdom work that's going on in their area, around the world, even specifically in what they do and how they do it. I mean, it's really cool. What's really cool is when you see somebody that's walking with the Father. For me, this is really cool. When you see somebody that's walking with the Father, and you see how God takes everything that's been put in that person and utilizes all of those gifts as empowered by His Spirit to be used. And then when you see that person doing what they do, and then them come and then interact and work with someone else doing the same thing, as far as like the Spirit of God working in that person, but with a different set of gifts. And then you see the two going together, working together in tandem, and how they complement, and how there is no division, there is no schism. It's just working together for a season, for some assignment that God puts them in, and then mixing and matching, and God rematches and puts people in something else. And none of them are holding on to anything in the world. None of them are trying to build an empire. They can all walk away from this thing tomorrow if they need to. They have no vested interest in this world. It's impartial. If God says give it up, they give it up. There is no if do this, then do this with those ones. For them, they've already done it. For them, it's already done. It's like if he says left, they go left. If he says right, they go right. That's why those here. Let's go John chapter 3. I've gone through this before, but John chapter 3 says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So everyone that is born of the Spirit of God, truly born of the Spirit of God, they are like the wind. They come and they go, just as Jesus Christ came and went. So just like when Jesus Christ was in the earth, you notice how he came when he came, and he left when he left. And there's a lot of times people are like, oh, Jesus, stay here. It's like, no, I gotta go. And there's other times we're like, Jesus, come. He's like, I'll get there. You know, I'll show up. Lazarus is about to die. You know, gotta take a couple more days here. Why? Okay, even in that situation, there's a timing that man has, and there's a timing that God has. God deliberately stayed away from there for another 2 days, even after Lazarus was dead, because there was something that he wanted to do. One, in Jewish tradition, there was a thinking that, okay, when somebody died, that the spirit would kind of hover around the place for like 3 days. And then after somebody was dead for 3 days, they were really dead. I mean, they were dead. Now 3 days are done, they're dead. There's no anything else. So when Jesus showed up and he's like, I am the resurrection. And then he called Lazarus out. He, brother, was dead. Lazarus was gone. So what Jesus did in a situation like that too is there is no doubt. He is the resurrection. So he's holding off. Now these guys are saying, quick, show up before everything's over. No, he's got his own timing. Because there's something else that he's doing. And that's why that miracle too, that's why it carried so much more weight, was because it's like, look, you know, there is no doubt whatsoever.
If you
When people called him, you just said that, okay, you cured him.
Doctor. Yeah.
Rather than, creating himself.
In fact, they did say that. They said, couldn't he that have, healed a person's eyes, couldn't he have spared this guy? I mean, it would have people can't trump death. People can't trump death. That's the thing. There is, people with all of their doctors and their money and their this and their that and their power and their connections. You have an appointment, with the grave in this life. And those that walk with the Spirit of God, death has no hold on them. Death has no sting, because He took that upon Himself. He that knew no sin became sin for us. He took our sin, He took that separation, and then He experienced all of those things for us, took it all. Now we have the way made through Him to be with the Father for all eternity, praise God, through the blood of Christ Jesus and the cross. And so now what we have is that connection. So when we step out of this life, hey, all I do is take off the earth suit. That's it. So it's not a big deal for me to die at all. Not a big deal at all. It's a really, really, it's a minuscule hiccup in my eternal reality. So while I'm here, I might as well be about what He's doing. And seriously, why am I going to go on vacation and sit in the hotel room for 50 years? Seriously, why would you go on vacation someplace and go there just to sit in a hotel? That's what most people are doing. That's what most people's faith constitutes. If they're awake, they're so darn afraid to go outside of the door and to actually believe and trust what God is doing. But if you want to say you went on vacation to some, we live in this tropical paradise, gosh. But you went to Italy, to Rome, you went to Florence, you went to some, you went to some place that just, and if you went all that way, and then you sat inside, a 500 square foot hotel room, and you spent your entire time there in that situation, and then you left. And people are like, oh, well, what was it like? What do you mean, what was it like? What was your time in Italy like? What do you mean? Did you see anything? Did you go anywhere? The hotel's nice. Room service is good. No, how ridiculous would that be? But if that is ridiculous on a natural level, why is it that that's what people's spiritual experience is? That's the depth of their spiritual reality is constituted to that. Where God says, look, leave the room, I've got something for you. And they're like, no, I, this is safe. I don't speak Italian. Why? Here's the thing. Jesus promised He would never leave you nor forsake you. He promised He'd always be with you. He said, go into all the earth. He said, I'm never going to leave you. He'll always be with you in this. So if you go into the dungeon, He's with you. If you go into the palace, He's with you. If you go anywhere that the Spirit of God is leading you and guiding you, He's with you in that experience. So why wouldn't you? Because if He says go and you don't go, He's gone. You've stayed. Do you see what I'm saying? The reason he says come follow me, because He's moving. So if the Spirit of God is moving and going somewhere and doing something, and you choose to not go, where have you stayed? You've stayed in a place where now He's not there. So now when He's not there, what is it that people substitute in? This is where people now substitute in religion. Because it's like, okay, I can't really hear what God's saying. I can't really, I'm kind of freaked out. Pastor, am I okay? We'll pay your 10% guilt tax and He'll tell you you're okay. I'm serious. You pay your guilt tax, for selling out to the world system, and he will tell you, till he's blue in the face, you're all right, slobber a little spit, spit on the microphone, you know, he'll do the whole thing, he'll put on a great show for you once a week, and you'll all sit there in the hotel room, in the lobby, and you'll never ever experience what God intended for you. Here's another thing, God's provision is there. It's, you see, people sometimes they worry, like for example the rich young ruler, he worried about the provision, that was his block. He's like, what will happen if I let this go? But look at what Jesus has done, look at what God has done throughout time. Manna in the desert, 40 years he took care of his people, 40 years he made sure that they were fed and taken care of. You're going to feed a million people? You know, I mean, every day. And the disciples, even when they went out, when they came back, what did Jesus ask them? He said, when you went out without you know, the bag, without this, when you went out the way I told you to, did you lack anything? You checked them. Did 12 people, trial run. Test run, 12 subjects. You know, this is enough to have a scientific validation. Did you? Nope, they're all batting 1,000. Every one of them that went out according to the will of God, when they came back, they said, we didn't lack anything. We didn't lack anything. They were taken care of because in the Word of God is the provision of God. In obeying the instruction of God is the provision, and God takes care of his people in that. If you don't go in line with the word and you step outside of what the rhema of God is, now you're stuck. See, now you're in a place where the provision of God isn't there, because God was showing you, if you would have gone with him in something that maybe might have seemed foolish to the natural mind, but the provision of God was there. But if you stay in what you think is your own mind, your own thinking, then that's the place where, hey, it might not be there tomorrow. You see what I'm saying? So like, for example, Elijah, you know, when the Shunammite woman and the whole thing about Elijah at the brook, ravens coming, water coming, God's, this, everything starts drying up, and God says, all right, I want you to go here now. And he does a miracle with that woman. And even in that situation, it's like he is, as Elijah's obeying the voice and the instruction of God, he's also in a place for the provision and the sustaining of God. And for me, I think about it. When God put it in my heart to be back here in Sri Lanka, it was insane in the natural. Why would you come to this country in the middle of civil war, in the middle of, you know, a constantly going down economy, and at that time what turned out to be a tsunami happening as well, and then the rest of all that. But in walking with the Spirit of God in that time, over these last years here, and now looking back, I'm like, of course. Have I lacked anything? No. Nothing. Because he takes care. And then I see the stuff that's even happened, even over the last 2 months. I'm just like, oh my gosh. Where else in the world would I have wanted to be? Nowhere. I mean, it's because there's purpose as well. See, God has reason and purpose for where he puts us, why he has us there, the things that he has us involved in. That's all there. But if you love your life in this world, you're going to lose it. Here, let me show you something. Go Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I'm just curious here. Let me see one thing. Mark words. Is that? Just want to see something here. Okay. All right. Never mind. I'll check that later. Just gotta. Wow, that's cool. Okay. Jesus speaking to the disciples. He says, "All right, if somebody's gonna come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me." So if you want to save your life, whoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for the sake of the gospel shall save it. Okay, what does the world tell you? What does the system of the world tell you?
Collect and save yourself.
Save yourself, exactly. What the world system says, you know, save your life. That's what it tells you. Save your life. Everybody, freak out. Save your life.
Save
your life. It's swine flu. It's bird flu. It's economic collapse. Everybody's getting married. It's whatever it is. Save your life. It tells you that. And what does Jesus promise? He said, if he tries, whoever will save his life shall lose it. But whoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. See, this is the paradox. This is the if, you know, first go sell everything and then come and follow me. The guy that for him, that was his block. That was him saving his life in the world. And so for him, for the rich young ruler, when he sought to save his life in the world, he lost it. So he kept the cash. You know, the cash could have probably gone off a few years later. Something could have turned around. The stock market could have dropped. The pigs could have all died. Whatever it is that was the source of his wealth. Wealth comes and goes. Money comes and goes. And you know what? Hey, you get sick as a dog. You have something wrong with you. All the wealth in the world, you would... You know, how many people will trade all of the wealth that they have if they could just be in good health? I mean, that is phenomenal wealth. If you can be in good health, that's huge. Which would you rather, to be in good health and to not have so much, or to be incredibly wealthy but to have some degenerative disease in your body? No, I'm serious. It's like, give me good health. So I'm just saying, like this guy, but the goal was for him saving his life. So Jesus spoke to him. He gave a rhema to him. He gave a word of life to him. Here it is. You got a piece from the Logos. Here's the Logos of God standing right in front of the rich young ruler. He wants to know, what is it that I still lack? Here comes the rhema to him. This is life for you. First go sell everything you got, and then give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. That was it. And what did he do? See, here's what happens. With hearing comes responsibility. When you hear, now the responsibility comes to obey. And something that's a responsibility on our side is learn to obey quickly. Very important. Something I'm working on. Learning to obey quickly. Don't roll this around in your mind for an extended period of time. Now sometimes what happens is I am a little bit curious because I'm like, wait, did I really hear God right on this one? You know, I mean, I want to know, because sometimes it's like, you know, I don't, and I just want to check, especially if it's something like, whoa, wait a second. But he will confirm it. As soon as you have the assurance that this really is him speaking, really is him showing you something, do it. Do it ASAP. Do it as soon as possible. Do it. Because there's a blessing. There's always a blessing in you following and adhering to the Rhema of God. Always is a blessing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you hear that Rhema of God, when you do it, there's always a blessing in it. And there's always a negative consequence if you ignore it. It's just this. If you ignore when God... So when God says something to you that's life, and you choose to go the other way, there's something is negative that happens out of that. For the rich young ruler, he went away sad. And that sadness, I venture, would have turned into sorrow in the days ahead. Can you imagine, like, from an eternal standpoint, if he could have done that one over today? Did he keep his cash? I mean, even living in this life now, we're not even in eternity, but right now, looking at his situation, if you had the choice, knowing what you know now about this story, and you could go into his shoes in time, would you have followed Jesus? Or would you have taken what was behind door number two? Yeah. You can keep the cash. Or you can have, no, of course, you'd be like, I want Jesus. So, now there is some things that we do, that we can do to continue to cultivate that relationship and that connection. This is important. See, it's important that you and I get to a place where we are really, as much as we can do on our side, in tune. See, the speaking comes from God's side. He can speak to you whatever it is that He wants to, whenever it is that He wants to. That's His call. But for us on our side, being in a place where we're attuned to Him, so that, and where we speak, it's two ways. We're not just receivers. It's going both ways. It's continuous connections, continuous relationship. Okay. We talked a little bit before. I want to touch on this a little bit more again. But you have the conscious mind, which is the surface reality, which is the one that, you know, we're dealing with all the time, and we're surrounded by all the time, which is what the world and the world system seeks to keep you in. See, the world, while you're awake, physically awake, wants to keep you on that conscious level. What you can, the five senses, what you can see, hear, touch, smell, feel, like keep you in that place of always everything conscious, surface, carnal reality. This is why, too, but you're a spiritual being. So when you stop and you still yourself and you go deeper than the level of the conscious mind, that's where you go into a spot where you can hear the still small voice. It's like a sliver reality. Now, if you go deeper than that, you get into like a dream thing. You know, you get into like, you know, that's a whole other side where it's like there's all kinds of things that are there that, you know, there could be delusion and demonic stuff there, and all that is there too. We're not trying to trance out here. But there is a sliver reality where it's the still small voice of God, where you hear and where He can show you. Now, you know, sometimes when God's spoken to me, like, I remember some things, like, sometimes, like, He can show you, for example, like, in a vision, in an image, in some, He can speak volumes to you in something that He reveals. It's not words. See, that's closer actually to the language of angels. Where it's not, see, this that A, B, C, D, this, that like, is very, it's a very base way of communicating. In fact, the only reason that the words that we say have power is because they're laced with the Spirit of God. So when we're in connection with the Spirit of God, when I speak a word and in connection with the Spirit, there is this interweaving with the Spirit and that word. That's why too, sometimes I have friends that listen to the audios online and they'll write me back like 2, 3 weeks, 1 month, 5 months later, something, you know, they'll check the archives, whatever, and they'll be like, you know, I hate you and I love you, because, you know, because it's like, you know, they're like, you know, it just cuts, or it just addresses something that's going on in their life right then and there. I have no idea. I don't know what's going on with them, but the Spirit of God knows. So He'll put something in that word that's exactly what it is that they're dealing with right now, and the Spirit is alive in that, so He'll speak to them out of that. Now, what they have an obligation to do is when they hear that, because not me, it's the Spirit of God speaking and using anyone that's in connection with Him and willing to go that route, now they have an obligation, which is to do it, to be in right position yourself. You know, this is not for, this is not intended for spectators. This is intended for people to... You're a part of it. We're part of it. We're part of the body of Christ and part of what God's doing right now. We need to be. See, God, right now, He wants, He's petitioning, He's calling out for anyone that will go the full measure with Him. He wants that. I mean, if you are, like Mark chapter 8, if you are on the road to die, that's pretty committed. You know, there really is nothing left. If you've taken up your cross and following Him, you're pretty much committed to the end game. That's it. There's nothing left. 100% in this, all out. That's what He wants. He will allow for nothing less than that. Okay. So, cultivating that reality. Okay, gosh. Now, back to one thing with Revelation 2 and 3. So to him that hath an ear, let him hear. Okay, what? Let him hear. The other thing too, let him hear. So God is speaking, you need to be able to hear. And then to him that overcometh. So there's three things throughout. Everyone throughout time, throughout eternity, anyone who's part of the body of Christ, this is it. You need to get this one down. To him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying, the Spirit of truth, and to him that overcomes. And you have to overcome. Now, how is it that we overcome? Well, one, we overcome by remaining in Him. We're in the vine. Here, go to John chapter. Well, you can just John chapter 15, 16, 17. It's good homework reading sometime. But John 15, 16, and 17. We're in the vine. We remain in Him. His words remain in us. In fact, yeah. Oh, I love it. Okay, cool. We're in Him. So we remain. Just checking. Okay. So we remain in Him and His words remain in us. But as you remain in Him, as you remain connected to Him, because we, in chapter 16, he said, verse 32, he said, "Behold, now the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So now we overcome the world because we are in Him. In and of ourselves, there's no chance. If I was not in Christ Jesus, this place would have done me in 1,000 times over by now. It would have just ruined me. And then after it was done with that, it would have ruined me some more, and it would have put me on the railroad tracks and run over me. It would have done me in a long time ago. I know that. We know that. Anyone that walks with Christ, you absolutely know that. If you truly walk with Him, you will have seen the protection of God, and you will be able to look back and say, oh my gosh, if it was not for Him, I would have been finished a long time ago. So, to him that overcomes. So one thing that happens is when we remain in Him, you're now within. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. You're in Him. In Him you live and move and have your being. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. You are in that spiritual position where now you're in a place of spiritual safety amidst an insane world. But you walk through this life with that protection and that guard around you at all times. And nothing in this life can touch you. So that's why too, if God's like, all right, I want you to go here. I want you to go in the middle of the conflict zone. He says it. Great. Fantastic. Because that's no different than getting up and walking across the room. Because there's, you know, if He's in it, you're fine. You're safe. You're protected. You're walking with Him. And then He's got purpose in that. But if you're not, if you're trying to do something in yourself, okay, now, don't step outside of that connection. Because also, too, when you step outside of Him, now you're not in a place where you can hear. So we want to stay in a place where you can hear that still small voice of God, where you can hear the word that He's speaking, because He is speaking. Okay. So, some things too. I know I've touched on this one before, but Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, where it says, just give you this one really quick. But it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So, you're seeking Him, and in seeking Him, and acknowledging Him, and attuning into Him, He's directing this way, left, right, go, stay, don't move. Sometimes it's a very important thing. Just stay right here and don't do anything. And you might need to stay in a place for a month, 2 months, a year, 10 years, 15 years, 40 years. Whatever it is, you might need to stay in some spot for a while because God needs to get you used to settling yourself under His hand. See, the people of God also need to learn to settle themselves under the hand of God. You have to learn to be still. Be still and know that I'm God. You have to learn to be still in His presence. And to allow for that, the way that He works with you. You know, have you ever seen like sometime where, either with a child or with, you know, sometimes even like a pet or something like that, where there's like, you know, just all riled up and just like, you know, and someone will grab them and just hold them. And in the holding process, it's like there comes a point where it's like, okay, that child or that animal just kind of stop fighting, stop squirming, stop, and just kind of just be. You know, that's important. God needs you to learn to just be. And then when you can learn to just be, now you can just hear, okay, now let me speak to you and show you where. Now let me show you the next road. Because now you're ready. Before, you're scrambling around, doing things in your own steam, doing things in your own thinking, doing all this stuff out of your own mind. You wouldn't know whether you're coming or going. And if He gave you something more, you would have just spun out of control. You wouldn't need the devil to do you, and you'd do yourself in pretty fast. You know, he's working sometimes with people just to get them to just be still. Under His own hand. Okay. But there's something that we need to do in this whole thing. You need to be vigilant in the process. Okay. So there's a battle that's going on on different levels. One is for your conscious mind. I'll give you some references you can check later. But Philippians 4, verse 8, Job 31, verse 1, Psalm chapter 1, or Psalm 1. These are all ones that just talk some about the conscious mind. And I'll give you one here. Let's just go to Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4 and says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Okay. Right. Think on these things. Right. So, there is, see, one thing is that God is giving some just instruction about, wait a second, where is it that you let your mind go? What is it that you put your mind into? So you can think about a ton of things. You know, you can let your mind be on, like right now, I can be a bunch of different places, but I'm here. If I'm reading something, I can be reading 50 different books. Which one am I reading? Now, God will allow you to have certain exposures, allow you to learn certain things, but if you do something like that, do that with that lens of the Spirit that you're filtering things through. You know, don't just be a blind consumer of whatever comes your way. There's a difference. You know the difference. So don't just sit down and veg out. I'm serious. Even for myself, I'm thinking, like, even just, you know, something, music, things that come in front of your eyes. Just because, see, what's happening is the world system is working to the devil, is working very hard to get some kind of inroad and to cloud the conscious mind. Because see, if your conscious mind is flooded with all kinds of stuff, then what happens when you have to try to go pray? When you go and try to pray and try to quiet yourself in the presence of God, now you've got last night's movie playing in your head. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not saying anything about, you know, it's between you and God, you know, whatever it is. But I'm saying that there's a spiritual residue on so many things that we're around. And I'm not saying be a hermit or close yourself off, but be conscious about your connection. Be conscious about your walk with the Spirit. Because if that's number one, then when something starts to diminish from that, when something starts to pull you from that, be aware. Ask God, what do I do with this? You know, do I switch this off? Do I change it? Do I change the channel? Do I not engage? Do I engage? Whatever it is, because in the end, there's a battle for that mind. Again, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. what the system of the world and what the religions of the world have done is they've taken something similar, and what they do is like, oh, okay, no movies, no this, no that, no. You see, they put their rules around something like that. So it has a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. No, what I say is, look, just be aware that there's a battle on for your mind. And you do what you have to do to tune into the right frequency so that on the conscious mind, on the subconscious mind, on the level of the Spirit, you can, as much as possible, have done what you can to be in tune so that you can hear the voice of the Spirit when He's speaking to you. That's your responsibility. Nobody else's. Nobody else can enforce that on you. No one else should be. That should be something that you take the deliberate decision to say, hey, I want to be in this place. Now, if God's speaking, don't you want to be able to hear what He's saying? Now, here's something that happens too. when people now are taking certain responsibility on the conscious mind, then you start encountering the bombardment and on a spiritual level. So now you're making certain things, you're making certain deliberate decisions to not cloud that mind and all that. Okay, now, oh, you're, this person's serious. Okay, now here come the, you know, and so you start, you go to pray, and you'll have memories of stuff you did from 5 years ago come back to you. You'll have some kind of depression, waves of whatever. All this stuff, wham, wham, here it comes. And this is now, because why? Because there is a war on the level of spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18 talks about, you know, how you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers. Flip there. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Yep, there you go. Remaining in Him and His word is remaining in us. Back to overcoming, how it's all interconnected. Cool. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Okay, so here's the war. And so when we engage in this, now if you taking some responsibility for your conscious mind, okay, now you're going to be wrestling in spirit. And you will have, it's not like, oh, okay, one or the other. No, you'll have an overlap between these. You have, you'll start, the attack will come in the conscious, the attack will come in the spiritual level as well. But it's a battle. So this is where you learn to war. This is where you learn to fight. Now on God's side, all He wants to see is, hey, here's, because you and I would be wiped out in a second if it wasn't for Him in the first place. But what He wants to see from our side is us doing what we can, engaging our will to hear Him, engaging our will to do that. He will empower you by His Spirit. The Spirit of God will rise up in you. He will quicken you. He will show you what's going on. He will reveal the plan of the devil. He will expose that to light. He'll show you the steps to take. Whatever it is, He will reveal that. But He wants on your side at least this to be enough of a priority. You know, that's what He wants on your side. He wants this to be enough of a priority for Him to... He doesn't want you just saying, okay, good enough. You know, let me just call God when I need a raise. You know, or I got a problem. Let me get back to my life in the world, Jesus, and I'll let you know if I need something. No, that's not what He wants. He wants those that are His completely. And He wants that relationship and that connection. He wants that intimacy to go so deep that no matter what it is that's going on, it's like you know His voice. And in whatever situation, you will walk that out. Now the battle also too is for the subconscious mind. You know, you have the spiritual one going on, you have the conscious mind, but that which is below the surface of who you are on the conscious level. And this is where all the stuff about splitting of the souls, trauma, inserting alternate personalities, all of this stuff is like worldly endeavors that the world works on. And the goal is to access the soul through the flesh. So it's working to rope, ultimately what it's doing is working to rope the eternal aspect of who you are into the world system to consume your labors, and upon death to harvest your soul. Should I say that one again? Alright, here, okay. It's working to rope the eternal aspect of who you are into the world system to consume your labors, and upon death to harvest your soul. So you have, and see, here's something too, like for example, the whole thing about sins of the flesh. Alright. These are access points into the spiritual aspect of who you are, the soul and the spirit of who you are. So what the devil is working to do is, you know, just like, all right, here's this door. If the door is locked, or if the door is shut, it's very hard for something to get in. But if you just crack the door open, if it's just open that much, it's very easy for someone to push the door open now. If it's shut, it's very hard for someone to open it. But if it's open up that little bit, then that's like, okay, now here comes the flood, here comes the push to get in. And there's always something that starts it, and then the rest all try to follow. What the devil is looking for is inroads into a person's life. And this is where the will is engaged. If you, by your free will, choose something, then that's against what God is revealing and showing to you, you now create an opening for him to access you. You're making that. You're basically saying, here, look, let me set up a couch and you just come on in and make yourself at home and come and go whenever you feel like it. Now, so we make certain steps, certain decisions, certain choices, and see, this is why too, you know, and people have been through hell. I mean, people have been through some terrible stuff. I mean, people have been through, each person, no one knows the anguish of someone else and what they've been through. Only the Spirit of God knows them. But here's what happens, is if somebody says, Lord God, I want your way. I will go with you. Whatever it is that you say, I will go with that. If you'll do that, he will take you through that process. He will lead you out of that. And in the places where people have been so broken and so damaged, where it's like they feel like, okay, I can never be put back together in this place. What happens is the Spirit of God flows through that brokenness in those places. And he flows through that person's broken aspects of that life into the lives of others. And he touches and helps and strengthens and ministers to others through that person's own brokenness. So even God can take that which was intended for evil and work it out for good. This is where God certainly works all things together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. So you will have somebody who is just shattered. But in that being shattered, if they're given over to walking with him, the flow of the Spirit will just pour through that person's life. And it's really, really cool to see. Okay, so in closing, you've got to cultivate this. Something you have to cultivate on your side as well. God speaks, but there's some things that we do and we're responsible for on our side. And so there's a part that we play in the process. One just note verse on this one, Psalm 95, verse 8. But anyways, when do you stop hearing? One question. When do you stop hearing?
When you're not hearing me.
When you stop listening. You stop hearing when you stop listening. So, with that, I'll leave that one with you for something to chew on, and we'll stop there for tonight.